Radio's coverage of AusCert's 2008 conference is sponsored by Microsoft. Visit itradio.com.au/AusCert08 for IT Radio's full coverage of this year's event and to hear Microsoft's AusCert presentations. Or go to itradio.com.au/security for the Risky Business podcast, honing your eardrums since February 2007.
Hello and welcome to this special audio presentation. I'm Patrick Gray. You may or may not have heard of the Shadow Server Foundation. It's a volunteer-run organisation designed to track malware, botnet activity and electronic fraud. Richard Perlotto runs the technology and operational side of the organisation, but his day job is as a security advisor to Cisco Systems. Prior to that, he ran security operations for Cisco worldwide for almost 4 years. In this AusCert presentation that he delivered on the Gold Coast, Perlotto talks about what the Shadow Server Foundation actually does, how it collects its data, and what it actually does with that information once it has it. Enjoy.
Shadow Server is a non-profit organization that basically gathers data on malware, botnets, bad things happening on the internet. What we do is we give out this information for free to the network owners so they can try to remediate. We work with certs, law enforcement, corporations, and stuff like that. We're an all-volunteer organization. There's about 15 of us around the world right now. We have one in Australia, several in Europe, and most of us are in the U.S. Now, my day job, and Shadow Server is not my day job. Shadow Server is what I do at nighttime, hence probably Shadow Server. The wife doesn't necessarily like the amount of hours I put in after hours. My day job for the last 10 years, I worked at Cisco. First four there, I did security operations worldwide for Cisco, so I'm intimately familiar with handling operations and handling the day-to-day regime of hacking attempts and dealing with the infrastructure. The last 6 years, being tired of being managing all of that crap for a large corporation, I decided to stop being a manager and actually try to do helping the internet directly. So the last couple of years, Shadow Server has been our effort. So talking about gathering malware and what to do with it, fundamentally. Right? What's the problem? Capture, analysis, tracking, logging, reporting, and summary. So how big is the problem out there? How much information do you gather now? How much do you share? And how much do we know about? Several years ago, two or three years ago now, Arbor did analysis of the DDoS attacks that we'd seen compared to the DDoS attacks that they'd seen, and they saw a 13% overlap. Now, I don't know if that means we overlapped 13% with them or vice versa, because I don't know their data set. I only know my data set. But the question is, if they saw a 13%, what percent of the total am I? So when I go through this and I show you data, you have to ask yourself, what's the multiplier? I'm getting kind of loud. That's okay. That's what I do. Am I 10%, 5%, 50%? I don't know. And no, none of you can answer that question either. But if we work together, we can come closer to what the answer might be. Of course, then talk about how we do our operations. Not that you might be able to duplicate it, but if you're interested in setting up small systems or interested in the automatic analysis of malware, capture and analysis of malware, this is basically a prep on here's how we do it. Might be interesting to you. Here's the ISOR chart. I'll have to thank the HoneyNet project guys who are far better at developing Visio diagrams than mine. So I asked them to do a treatment on our original diagram. This is much prettier than the one that I had originally. I'm an engineer. I'm not a marketing guy. So what we'll talk about is the basics. The capture, the analysis. Let's see, there's a laser pointer. So here's the capture points, the analysis, tracking it, reporting it, logging and reporting. Well, you guys are sleeping. And I thought I didn't have the after lunch session. Maybe I should have them turn the lights out. So capture. There's a variety of ways of doing it, a variety of technologies. All of them could be valid. Any of them could work. We attempt to use as many as possible ourselves, and many of the groups out here use them individually. Now, our biggest piece that we use is Nepenthes, which is a low-interaction honeypot. We also use honey clients, spam traps, any tool that we can use to gather the malware, we attempt to gather it. Because in the end, the malware will lead us to the bad guys. Now, being a nonprofit and not being a transit provider, I don't own any pads. Everything we do as an end client, as a user. We're not a corporation. Well, that's not good. We're incorporated as a nonprofit, being very poor. I mean, majority of the expenses are paid this way. Oh, the CERT guys didn't pay me today. So unfortunately, it keeps us kind of lean. Hence the volunteer state. Hey. We have about 25 million binaries in our repository. That's how many we've gathered in the last 18 months. Now, I'll go back to the original question I asked you. What percentage of the total am I? Now, you could say, well, that's an obscene number. I agree, it's an obscene number. And what percentage is polymorphic? Maybe about half. So maybe I have about 12 million unique ones. Okay. What percentage of the total? Like 5%? 10%? What multiplier do you want to make this number uglier with? Because it only gets worse. It never gets prettier. There's another... that's probably not legible to anyone. That's okay. Now, all the charts that I'm showing in this presentation are actually available on our public website. So if wireless is working very well here, you could surf the website and probably see majority of the material I'm going to show you, more up-to-date than what I have here. Because all of this is about a week old now. Because I didn't bother updating it last night. Because the Australian CERT guys have a tendency of drinking a lot of beer very late. And unfortunately, I stayed up late with them. And as a previous speaker, I'm still not sure what time zone I'm in. So, let's see if I get this. There we go. So this is showing the last 24 hours from a week ago. We had about 70,000 that came in one day. The last 10 days, we're running about 80, 90,000. Over the last 30, 2.5 million. That's not our highest. I mean, I think our highest month so far was about 3 or 4 months ago when we hit 4 million unique binaries in 1 month. Now, you can look over here. I could just wave at it a lot, and maybe you'll see something. Guess not. You can see kind of the sources we have. Email, honey clients, honey pots, and the sandbox system. What we found is the sandbox system, which does the automatic analysis of the malware, is actually a great source of malware because we're finding a trend of the malware writers to write small envelopes for their binaries. And the infection rates are very high for kind of this envelope piece. And the detection rate is very low. Although if you look at our statistics, it's not quite that clear because we never figured out that, we never thought that there'd be a separation of envelope versus payload, and the detection rates would be so different. The detection rate for the envelope is less than 20% normally. The detection rate for the payload is almost always over 90%. It's an odd dichotomy, which means they're focusing on delivering, and once they have it, they're using old technology to control your system. Sandboxing. And there's a variety of technologies here. Many of them are very good and some are mediocre. Right, there's Norman, there's CW Sandbox, there's Anubis, there's several of the Windows-based systems, and there's several proprietary ones that are utilized in some of these other vendors that won't share their code. But they have their own sandboxing as well. Everybody does it differently. Now, the sandbox that we use is pretty much CW Sandbox. We were loaned a research license to utilize it, and we abused the hell out of it, as most nonprofits will attempt to do so. They said, we can go ahead and run it on, you know, whatever machines you have. Great! I'm up to 250 virtual machines simultaneously now. I have another 250 waiting. We can process 75,000 binaries a day. It's not always enough. We have a huge sandbox system. It's not big enough. What the hell? What's the multiplier? 5, 10, 20? How much resources do we need to process this? So our systems are pretty much automated at this point. The binaries come in through the variety of sources we have, automatically gets fed to the sandbox system, and the AV test system actually occurs right before the sandboxing because we attempt to do as many polymorphic tests as possible on the binaries before we sit in the sandbox. Because once it gets to the sandbox, that's an expensive thing to do. It's going to run for 3 to 5 minutes. It may run 5 or 6 times each time until we get a result. We may not get a result. So just from the binaries we process, we add in over a terabyte of sandbox reports to our database a month. How much are terabyte drives again? They're getting kind of expensive. We're sitting on about 100 terabytes of disk right now, of which about 40 of it is filled just with sandbox and malware. That's a huge amount of data. And I'm only a percentage of the total. Actually, we've actually processed, I think, over 24 million at this point. That's a week old now. We also get URLs. And then if you go back to the earlier graph, there we go. We get URLs from our logging system, and we get URLs from the downloaders and the processing of the malware itself. So we feed that to our download system, automatically downloads everything, feeds it back into the sandboxing system, and we reprocess. I think the record for bad downloads, when I say bad, I mean quantity, is well over 1,000. I think one downloader downloaded between 15 to 20 other pieces of malware. In turn, each one downloaded another 15 to 20 pieces of malware. And in the end, we had well over 1,000 binaries on one machine. It didn't run very well. But it was there. I don't know what they planned on doing. I think we detected, I think it was 48 different variants of viruses and malware out of the 1,000. I mean, I realize they want to back themselves up to make sure they can continue running for the future, but that's a little obscene. I'm speeding right along. This is kind of showing some statistics on our sandboxing system. What we see is new. What we see has IRC in it. Obviously, a lot of the HTTP bots using different protocols. We call it the IRC just because it's kind of the lowest common denominator. People keep asking me, well, when are you going to stop following IRC? When the bad guys stop using it. Because the cost to enter this business is so low, a monkey can get into this business and it within a day of Googling, or less. We all know how easy it is to acquire malware, or look up things on Google, or Yahoo, or whatever it might be. And so while there are bad guys getting more and more sophisticated, utilizing new tools that are hard for us to find, the bottom, the IRC, is still growing. The number that we're monitoring right now live is twice what it was a year ago. I didn't really change anything our operationally in the last year, so why is it twice? And what fraction of the total am I watching again? There are more HTTP bots, PDP bots. There's a variety of technologies, hybrid technologies. They're out there, people they're utilizing now. We're monitoring as many of those as possible as well. Although PDP presents an interesting problem that has prevented us from really monitoring it too closely. And it was actually at a conference at the Malaysian CERT last year that I attended that frightened me about PDP. Because I was talking to the researcher, because they did a research on Winnie about what the content on Winnie was. They basically enumerated all the systems on there. They downloaded many of the files and did an analysis of what content was there. and an obscenely high percentage was pedophile material. I don't know about you, but I don't particularly want to see pedophile material. And the laws in all the countries we deal in are very harsh. And if we have any kind of automated system that deals with P2P, eventually it will get pedophile material. So that has been a deterrent, actually, for us delving too deeply in those areas. Because we don't want to take the chance of, well, if I violate a law, what happens now? You know, I really don't want a Ryder truck to show up at one of my place where I'm housing all the equipment and haul it all off. I would probably get a good night's sleep for once, but another eyesore. This is one of our sandbox reports, so it generates XML. You can kind of see the results. You can look at the AV results. You can look at the PCAP out of the binary if there's any information. That didn't turn out too pretty. You guys cut and paste this stuff somewhere else. It looked right when I gave it to you. So here's a summary of the last 30 days, a week ago, of our sandbox results. Look at how many binaries we processed, how many did TCP, UDP. Almost all of them did DNS. And most of the DNS they do is fairly innocuous. Why? It's the first basic test of, am I in a sandbox? Right? Basic test. They all do it. They all check now. Is someone trying to reverse me or not? It actually presents another interesting question I should answer. Everything we do is passive forward processing. And I use those terms very carefully to make sure that we are staying legal in how we operate. This is very important for us to remain on the right side of the law everywhere we work, to remain one of the good guys. Now, there's a lot of people who do reverse, and there's no problems with reversing the majority of the time. However, in certain countries, taking a piece of any kind of code that's a binary, if you reverse it, you've broken the law. You've broken copyright law. Now, admittedly, it's a piece of criminal ware, but not all the countries recognize that difference. So, because we operate and we send information to quite a few places around the world, we want to make sure that we're always trying to keep it within the law of every country we deal with, which is difficult many times. So we do what's called forward processing. We run the binary, we gather the data as it executes, and we use that as our invitation to go out. And so far, all the law enforcement guys have bought that. No one's complained yet that that's not right. And if there's encryption, that's okay because the software invited us, right? If my machine were infected, it would be wherever it was going to go anyway. Therefore, I have my invitation. It's a thin excuse, but it's one we're going to hold on to as long as possible. Again, some more summary analysis. You can see hiding the compatibility warnings. It's pretty standard. If I went actually about 3-4 months ago, the percentage is different for debugger checks. Instead, that was running at 70%. You never know. I mean, they change their technology to deal with what we do. So if they think some sandbox system or something, some analysis that we're doing is doing some kind of test, they'll change their methodology to try to circumvent it or to circumvent each other. AV tests. And you can complain that our results seem kind of high. But I'll explain again that there's a split of between the envelope and the payload. And we didn't anticipate the differences, and so we didn't plan on separating out the results very well at that point in time. It's something we're working on and hoping in the future, near future, I mean, being an all-volunteer organization, I do my Cisco job, and they're known slave drivers. And then I do stuff with the wife. And then maybe something for my daughter. Oh, I got some shadow server time. I can sleep a couple hours a night. So we do what we can. But we will separate out eventually and then have the separate results to figure out what the difference of actual payload versus envelope detection rates are. Now, we've done some tests, and I said it's running about 20% on one and about 90% on the other. Oh, there are good vendors. There are bad vendors. I'm not making any commentary here. You can make your own decisions. And you have to give the vendors some excuse in that they're not controlling what binaries we get. So they can't anticipate what they need to test. And we test it all ourselves. We have our own systems. Everything we do is internal to our own systems. We don't outsource any of it. And many of the vendors have improved since we started. I mean, we really do try to share as much as possible, work with the vendors wherever we can. The standard deal is if the vendor gives us a free license, we'll give them all the binaries that they don't detect up to 10,000 a day. Unfortunately, we've already had to eliminate one vendor just because they couldn't even detect that many. Although they've begged us to add them back, so we're going to look at what it would take to add more vendors. Now, all of our tests are also done off Linux-based machines, mostly because inherently we're Unix sysadmins, so that's where we started. Getting into the malware business is not something I ever planned. All right, I work at Cisco. I'm a Unix guy. What the hell is this Windows crap? I want to chase the bad guys. I want to make them go away. Make the place nicer, right? Maybe stock price will go up again one day. Tracking, all right? Now, the interesting thing in following up on the tracking, so we monitor, we know of about 3,000 live botnets right now. We monitor several of those, not 100%, just again, because we're all volunteer and there's a limited amount of resources to actually pursue this. We have customized clients that will basically join the botnets passively, and we log everything the botnet does, all the commands we see, all the information they pursue, and we give it out. The Australian CERT has been a very good customer of ours for a long time. And maybe some of others have seen the data as well. Now, what's interesting, there's lots of people who want to do this. And a lot of people get caught. And I know there's Symantec, other security groups out there, some of the honeypot groups, some of the other sandbox groups, also will try to attempt to monitor and join these botnets. And what's been fascinating is sometimes we'll join a botnet and we'll see 16 bots in the channel. Cool. Oh, that's Microsoft, that's Symantec, that's Anubis, there are no bots, they're all researchers. How many botnets are being kept alive through people like us? Because it's all automated. Microsoft has a system as well. They claimed to me at one point, within 3 seconds of getting a binary, they'll join a botnet. Great. Does it look right? No. I know when Symantec first started doing this, they get caught 90% of the time. 90% of the botnets they joined, they were detected. Now, another good example, this is Anubis. Now, Anubis is one of the public sandboxing systems you can use, and we've been in botnets for a long time. And we're sitting there monitoring it, and we'll watch a new bot join, and the return address is blah, 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 University Anubis sandbox system. All right, that's a good identity. And we watch the bad guys go, all right, Anubis found us. K-line them. Push that new binary, move it. Great, you just processed that binary. You gathered all the information on the command and control. That's gone. You're going to follow up on it and go, woohoo, there's no botnet there. In a matter of minutes, they can do this. So if you're going to get in the business, or you're in the business, you have to watch for these things. I mean, it's getting very polluted. I mean, we've got some botnets that move a dozen times in a day, sometimes because of themselves, sometimes because of us. And not because we're trying to close them down, though, because Anubis joined, a Microsoft joined, a Symantec joined. Sometimes they don't care. Ah, Symantec's here, who cares? What are they going to do? I mean, the truth is, most of these guys get caught, right? We know who a lot of them are, well, some of them, personally. I mean, we have phone numbers. They'll post in the channel sometimes, hey, here's my vacation in Cyprus. Here's a picture of my girlfriend. Whoa! You know? Or they'll say, hey, give me a quick call. Here's my phone number. It's been tempting. Hello? I know who you are. But we don't. Again, we do everything passively. But the issue still is, as more people get in this business, as people turn security information into a commodity and sell it, more people are going to want to do this. Because, oh, I can make a buck on it. And then they pollute the efforts to try to remediate it. Because if I give you the information, hey, here's a botnet, and it moved 10 minutes after I gave it to you, what use is that? That's worth it. You're going to go, there's no freaking botnet here. Piss off. Your data sucks. Right? If I tell you, here's some infected systems, and they move too. You know, I'll acquiesce them for now. They're not going to do anything. So we do a variety of monitoring. HTTP, IRC, limited P2P again because I'm, after the Winnie report in the Malaysian cert, I was certainly very concerned about our ability to pursue P2P very well. And unless some law enforcement person here wants to just give me, you know, get out of jail free card, I'll be happy to pursue it more. When we have all the technology to enumerate them all, dig out all the information and pursue it. But again, the bottom line is to never break the law ourselves in the pursuit of what's right. There's our tracking system. So we have, I think, about 12,000 different command and controls in our tracking system right now. We touch each one every 6 hours. Because what we found is they may go down, they may come back up. The odd part is when it comes back up, it may not be the same botnet. We've seen that happen several times. And you can ask, well, people always ask me about state-sponsored botnets. I can't really confirm anything. I can say, yes, there are many in China. Yes, there are many in the Middle East. There's only one that I really suspect might be truly state-sponsored. There's one in Kuwait that we've monitored for the last 3 years that runs for 2 hours a day. It's also out of the Ministry of Information in Kuwait. And it doesn't run for the same 2 hours. It runs for a different 2 hours every day. Almost exactly 120 minutes, and it turns off. Okay. What is that? It doesn't do much besides turn on and turn off. Is it a financial system that they just run occasionally? I don't know. But it's there. And there's a lot of those anomalies out there. You get enough of them, you find them. Logging. So we capture all the data, whether it's HTTP, IRC, whatever it might be. Oh, no, Zane's giving me the fingers. How many fingers do I get this time? It's better than the other gestures usually the Australian cert guys give me. So we gather the data. We push it out. So if you want our data, we'll give it to you. You just got to tell me your ASN, your CIDR block, whatever it might be, and I'll give you the data for free every day. We process everything every 24 hours. New reports go out. And hopefully you'll remediate. We know that not everyone's able to remediate, but maybe it might be nice to know what to look for. And we have lots of parsing. Regex is our friend and foe. Because it'd be nice to put a lot more intelligence into the testing that we do. I mean, so we add probably 10 or 20 new DDoS commands a week to our regex. Because it seems that every time someone develops a new botnet, he goes, oh, I'm going to call my DDoS talk, you know, attack dot blah, 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 after me. This one's after my girlfriend. This one's after my dog. This one's after my mother. Why don't you dot DDoS? Come on. And so the regex has to change frequently to keep up to date. So we have to monitor all the information that comes in, and there's a huge amount of it. So there's the number of command and controls that we know of that are live. This is not total. You can see it's sitting at about 3,000 a week ago. Again, if you look at our website, you'll see the current charts. You can see kind of the daily stats, weekly and monthly, and that's over the last year. So you can see there's a lot of variation day to day. So we add, on a monthly basis, about 200 to 500 new botnets. So you can then figure out the difference of If we're adding 200 to 500 new ones, then well, between 100 and 300 go away to maintain the angle that we have here, the slope. Do we make them go away? Maybe. I don't always know. I give stuff to the Australian CERT guys. Sometimes things go away. Sometimes they don't. Do they tell me? No. Sometimes people do. They go, great job! We killed that botnet a year ago. Which one? You know, so it's always good to hear some feedback. If we give you data, let us know if you do something with it. It is kind of useful to go, all right, we did something good. I mean, we're working with a Finnish CERT recently, and we're giving them all the infected machines that are sitting in Finland that we knew of. And they go, God, it'd really be nice to know what they're infected with. I said, great idea. Which AV vendor do you want to use? Because every one of them would give me a different name. I have 18 vendors, I got 18 names. So where are the command and controls? Everywhere. Where are they not? Well, they're not in Antarctica. But they're not in Antarctica for a reason. Not because they're on computers there, but because the routing is done through the local country. Right? So if for the U.S., there might be infected machines in Antarctica, but it's actually routed through Denver, Colorado. So all the IPs would come from those net blocks. And I haven't taken the time to actually dig up where all the net blocks in Antarctica are, although I'm finding it kind of curious, because I'm wondering, when can I put a dot there? 2006 versus 2007, where are all the new ones showing up? What you're seeing, this is not quite as visible here as it is in some of the next slides, is, I'm getting the five-finger salute now. I better speed up. Is things are going to more emerging countries, where networks are developing. That's where new problems are occurring. As the new networks come online, they're being infected. That's good. What do I share? I swear I had more slides in there. So where do we share information? We sent over 3,000 reports, 40-some certs, 1,000 ASN owners. If you want it, we give it to you. You have a question? You want it? Well, just hit me up. Here's some of the ASN. Again, another eye chart you can't read. I'll just skip through it. Here was, some command and controls in Australia. I thought that was fitting. Some URLs that we saw. That was the UK. Here's some DDoS attacks. 2006 versus 2007. Here's them without the lines. Right? The green is where it started. The red is the target. You know, where the DDoS is, command and controls in China attacking things in Australia. Right? What's being scanned? You know, who's the targets? That's a pretty big block. Anyone here own 203? No takers. All right. Where are the scans versus the infections? It's effective. They scan, they infect. Where are the infections? 2006 versus 2007. Still nothing in Antarctica. There were some in Greenland. I didn't even know if maybe there's this year. And you see these dots in the middle of the ocean? I actually pulled out an atlas one day and I go, is there really an island there or is my software screwing up? Oh yeah, there's an island. And there's one computer on it that's infected. So, drones, talk about how many we know of. I'm going to speed this up. And here we have, again, these are eye charts that are barely visible to you, but that's okay. What we have here are three different entropy values. When I say entropy, it's what's the last time we saw a particular IP address do something? And then say, at a certain point in time, we'll consider it dead. So we have 5-day, 10-day, and 30-day. You can see over time, the charts look fairly similar. Some variation due to the entropy and the total values are different as well. But it's an intellectual exercise to go, what is the entropy value of a bot? How long will something remain infected? And how long will it talk to something? And with NATing and everything else, it goes on for a while. Uh-oh, I'm about to get the one finger. I better speed along. So here, I think this was what? Less than an hour's worth of drones that we saw for Australia a week ago. Relationship, I don't have time. Never mind, screw that. So, back to the chart. Kind of talking about how we go about it, doing it operationally, gathering the malware, analyzing it, recording it, logging it, reporting it, blah, blah, blah. Ha! That's our website. That's me. It's Fredo, not Frodo. I am taller than your average hobbit. And most of the Australian serpents. So, we have 30 seconds. Any questions? Good, you can hit me up in the hallway later. I guess you guys can go for your break. Thank you.